Close. heard from Shlomo Karlbach. He said, you know, the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be a place that fills you up, but also breaks you open. Lets you know there's so much beyond you. And so, at some point, it began to just fill us up. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if you're not going to break, mitoch simcha, so I have to break you open another way. I have to be really full up, and I also have to be yearning all the time. So when we do any mitzvah, when we do the special mitzvah of dibuk chaverim, of hitvadut, you know, we really have to daven it. But we should be really, really connected and full, and also mitgagea.
I know.
Started to tell this over this whole story of Harut the song. So beautiful song. The Zohar to get, he was doing the, there was a Mivtza, I was in the army, and I was in Borodudin. This Nigun came down, so I started to tell over this whole story, and then I was going to start singing the Nigun, and I forgot it. And then I was sitting here playing chords, you know, it's just like, okay, what's going to be now? I opened it up, and now what's going to be? And I really asked Hashem, I said, I need something, and this other Nigun came down. And it was a steep thing for me, you know. We always think we know what's supposed to be. You know, we get things ready. And Rabot Machshavot Belevi Yish, and then Hashem says, okay, let's take that one away and see what happens. And Baruch Hashem, I got a Nigun. And so it's a really big zchut to play it in the room where it came down. It's a big zchut. So, and I think probably most of you know this Nigun.
Ooh.
If you want to be alive outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have to have Tzipiyat Yeshua.
Oh, it's happening.
to sing with you a Breslev Nigun that it's such a Pashut Nigun, but it's, you know, I always go back and forth in my mind. In Jewish music is two things. There's always two things in Jewish music. There's either Simcha or there's Gaguin, right? It's just, we go back and forth, and you know, every once in a while there's a Nigun that has both, but usually it's one or the other. And I always go back and forth, you know, which one do you start with? You know, on the one hand, you start with Gaguim, that's what opens up your heart, you know. But on the other hand, if you don't have Simcha, how are you going to Bichlal? How are you going to know you have a heart Bichlal if you don't have Simcha? So, it's also Adar. I don't know if you noticed. It's Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's not so pashut, you know. Everybody always thinks, you know, Adar Bet's the real Adar, you know, Adar Aleph's just kind of getting ready. But not so pashut, you know, Halacha is not so pashut, you know, which one's the real one? So, let's be machmir, we'll be real on both of them, okay?
Yeah. המקום שלי הוא רק ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל. כל מקום שאני נוסע, אני נוסע בארץ ישראל. המקום שלי הוא ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל. זכינו להגיע לארץ ישראל, זכינו להגיע לארץ ישראל. החלום שלי הוא רק ארץ ישראל, החלום שלי רק ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל. כל חלום שעולה בליבי רק בכוח דמיון של ארץ ישראל. החלום שלי הוא ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל, ארץ ישראל. אם זכינו להגיע ארץ ישראל, זכינו השלום שלי הוא רק Israel, Eretz Israel, Eretz Israel.
It's an amazing thing in playing music, because it's, on the one hand, it takes you so beyond, and then, you know, I'm sure, like, when you play guitar, you even feel this more, you know, then you have to tune, you have to fix things, you have to, like, get the mic just right, you know, it's like the kelim of it are, sometimes feel so distant from the actual avodah, but they're not really... Like life, sometimes we have a really hard time with caving, really hard time with working, doing the simple things we need to do in order to really get to the places that we want to go, but it's all part of one thing, one kesher. So, I want to share with you something I was thinking about. Today, I've been thinking about it for a while. You know, there's, Kabbalistically speaking, they talk about four olamot. Right? There's four worlds. Olam Asiya, Olam Yetzirah, Olam Briya. It's different levels of existence, you know, that coexist all the time. You know, and then you do work. In Olam Asiya, you do work in the world of action, the world that's external things that we do, and you get deeper and deeper in that world, right? And then you can go deeper and get into the world of Yetzirah, some more inner world, and it goes on and on until we get higher and higher. And in every world, there's different levels in every world. And so in the world of Asiya, you know, you can get, you start at the bottom, you know, and you start to work, and you build, and you get to a really high place, and then you go to Olam Yetzirah, and you start at the bottom again. Even though, really, it's much deeper, much higher than being in the world of, this world of action, you know, but it's, it feels like you're just starting over. So Rabbi Nachman says, when you start to get close, then the first thing is you get far. I don't know if it's really you get far, it's just you feel like you're so far because you just started something new. And what I wanted to share with you is, you know, all over the world, you can connect to Hashem, you can daven, you can learn, you can really grow. And you get deeper and deeper in that. And then there's this whole other level, it's called Eretz Yisrael. And the lowest level in Eretz Yisrael is like higher than whatever avodah you do when you're not connected to Eretz Yisrael. But when you go there, and a lot of people have this hard time, you know, you go there and then it's so hard, you know, just starting over. It's so hard, it's so... And a lot of people end up not wanting to go because they know, oh, here we know how we do things, here we know how we get filled up, here we know how we do avodah, you know, but don't start over. But the truth is, it's much deeper. And that's why the spies, one of the ways looking at it, you know, why the spies, you know, why were they... Why do they say, let's not go into Eretz Yisrael? Because they said, you know, look what we have here. You know, the Anane Kavod, you know, the Shekhinah, it's with us all the time. And then, I'm going to go into Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to start working the land. To stop eating man and start eating, you know, Israeli tomatoes. And, you know, it's such a low level. But what they didn't understand is it's a higher level, because it's the beginning of something even higher. So I'm saying this to people who I know are so connected and can feel it. Can feel in the room how everybody's connected to Eretz Yisrael. And I know, your Rav is really connected to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody's hearts open. So I'd like to sing with you a song. I'm sure some of you know this song. And I'll tell you a little bit the story this song came down. There was a man, a friend of mine, we were in yeshiva together a little bit. And he had some hard time, and he had to leave Eretz Yisrael. So we spent Shabbat together, four or five of us in the hotel room where he was staying before he left. And he said to me, "Raz, can you sing a nigun that I can take with me?" And this nigun came out. And I recorded it on my album, but the truth is, I called it something else on the album, but when we were recording, I don't know if you noticed, in a studio, you have to give names to the songs. Before you gave name to the songs, you have to give a name that's going to be on it, the recording that we're working on. So the name I gave it was Eretz Yisrael. I gave it a different name on the album, but that's really what it was. And I want to daven with you. This nigun is a davening nigun. It's really a yearning nigun. Everybody knows when you really yearn for something, you're really connected to it. We don't yearn for things that we don't have in our hearts already.
Thank you.
First from Weinberger, then I heard it later from Rav Shlomo, but I was thankful to hear the first version first. It was really more chazak for me. But what Rav Shlomo added was something else which I'll share. So the story is about a little kid in somewhere in Poland. He was very poor. You know, he lived. He had a little something he did in a house of an estate of a parietz in Poland. But you know, he didn't have any money. And at some point, the parietz started saying, "You know, you gotta pay me." And after a few months, he said, "Listen, I'm coming Monday. If you don't pay me on Monday, you know, I'm gonna kill you." Okay, so. Doesn't know what to do. His wife said, "Listen, it's a Rebbe. You go to Beli Melech, Vizhensky, give us a bracha." So he quickly gets his horse together, I guess. I don't know if he had a horse or Rebbe. It's always transportation in Poland is not so pashut. But he ran off to the Rebbe. On the way, he had to stop over in an inn. And in the inn, same time he was there, Josef Lublin was there. Josef looks at him, takes one look at him, he says, "Well, what's going on?" He tells him his story. He says, "Listen, don't go, whatever you do, don't go home. Don't go home, he's going to beat you, you know. Don't go home." Okay? He goes on to Beli Melech. Gets to Beli Melech, comes into to Beli Melech, gives the kvittel. Melech looks at the kvittel, he says, Okay, go home. It's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be fine. Tov, he said, what's he gonna do? The Chozer said, don't go home. The Melech said, go home. So, he said, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmi, Bishonim. He said, okay, I'll go to Beli Melech. Goes home. Comes Monday morning. Nothing happened. There's no money. Okay. He's waiting. Paritz comes. He says, I don't want the money. Money. He starts to beat him, mamish, beat him, makot, retzach, mamash, he's dying on the floor. And the parrot leaves and goes home. He goes home to his wife, and his wife says to him, you know, do you know where my Moshe is? She really liked this Jew. He says, yeah, I beat him. No, I'm sure he's dead now. She gets really angry and he says, I need my Moshe. I don't, you know, if you better go take care of him, you better not die, because if he dies, I'm leaving, you know, and I'm taking all the estate with me, you know, because it was apparently her money. So what can he do? His wife, you know, finally, what's he gonna do? He has to listen to his wife. He runs back, brings a doctor, he's mamish. Dying there on the floor, but somehow heals him. And she said to him, you know, you have to give him also a chuzeh, you have to give him a contract, you know, that he's got this area that's his, you know, for 25 years. Okay. Gives him a contract, and Baruch Hashem, he's got an inn there, he starts an inn, people start coming, and he starts to make money, and really, mamash, he's sick. Comes out of it and mamash rich. So after a year, him and his wife decide they're going to go to Beli Melech, say thank you so much for the bracha. They have a carriage now, they go to Beli Melech. They get to Beli Melech, by Beli Melech, and the Chose, it was the Talmud of Beli Melech, he's sitting there. Chose takes one look and he says, oh, you're still alive. Beli Melech says, looks at the Chose and he smiles and he says, you have good eyes. You saw all the way to the patch that I saw after the patch. So what I heard from Rav Shlomo met at the time, he was a young man and he met the chief rabbi of Iran at the time. So he knew he was going to meet chief rabbi of Iran. He thought he was going to meet some Sephardi with a turban, you know. Looks in, he sees his chassid with a shtreimel. Chief rabbi of Iran. He was, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So he got to know him and liked him a lot. And this chassid said, you know, I'm an enkel, Rabbi Melech. And, you know, we have this story that passed down in our family. I'm telling you the story, and I'm telling you, you have to swear to me you're going to keep telling the story, that we just, you know, have to promise me again, keep telling the story. And he said, you know, my lady told me the story and made me promise I'm going to tell the story. But now it was after the Holocaust, you know, and he said, now I understand why I had to tell the story. And so you, Shlomo, you have to tell the story. And so that's how I heard the story from Rav Shlomo. He was so much caught up sometimes in, you know, being afraid of the patch, being afraid of doing things that are going to, you know, chas v'shalom, it's going to be hard. But if we have Rebbe eyes, we can see beyond the patch, we can see, you know, that somehow that avoda is going to take us to a deeper place. And we need a Rebbe to tell us that, but I wanted to give us all a bracha. You know, whatever it is that the avoda is that's hard, you know. Now we don't have paritzim in the original sense of the word, but there's plenty of paritzim out there. And there's plenty of difficulties. And plenty of difficulties coming to Eretz Yisrael. Plenty of difficulties. Being over the Hashem Bichlal. If we could have the bracha, Rebbe Melech, you know. To see beyond the patch, to be ready to go beyond it, Amen. To give us all that bracha. And I'd like to share with you one more song of mine, which is a little bit connected to this. And hopefully we'll daven this together, and Hashem will give us a lot of koach to do whatever it is we need to do.
I
ארץ עורך מפני רצון אבו בטר ארץ עורך מפני רצון אבו בטר רצון אבו מפני רצון אבו כדי שיהיה בטר רצון אחרים כדי שיהיה בטר רצון אחרים כדי שיהיה בטר רצון אחרים
Neshama here, a special teacher of mine, zochet to learn with him for the last 5 years of his life. Tzaddik. And during the week of the Shiva, it was Shabbat night, I was sitting at my house, just me and my wife, and we had one guest. And it's an amazing thing, we washed. You know, washed to Samotzi, right? So we washed and after we washed, before we said Amotzi, Pitomis Nigun came. And I was sitting there singing this Nigun, waiting for Amotzi. And I felt it was from him, and I want to share it with you, and I'd like to bring his neshama here. And maybe we can all bizchuto. The one thing he was doing for the last 3 years of his life, he was just trying to teach people how to clap. All these Torahs about it, about shalom, about mochin de gadlut and mochin de katnut, all kinds of Torahs about bringing things together. This crazy thing, you know, in Hebrew, when you clap hands, you know what it's called? It's called Mechiat Kapayim. It's like the two hands are protesting each other. But somehow when they do that, it makes a beautiful music. So, Bizchuto, Hashem, his Kvod, Fuman Zichron of Echa, maybe we could clap and try to connect his neshama. Here in New York City.
La 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 Yeah.
Let's do this for real. say thank you to David, Sadaba, and to Isaac, and to everybody who made this happen. And I wanted to invite everyone, Mamash, come to Yerushalayim, come down with us in Kilat Ve'ani Tfila and Nachlaot. Also, come to be in Yerushalayim. Chodesh Tov, Chodesh Tov.
Minion 640.
640 Minion.
640 where? 640. Itcho, where's 640? Itcho! Itcho, where's 640? Here?
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 Annex.
Annex.
Okay, musical?
If you want.
How long are you here for?
You're here for where? In the States? Maybe Winston.
You guys want that, Mark?